Psalm 33. Once you've found your place, if you would, join me in standing one more time out of love and respect for the Bible and also to keep your blood flowing. It's harder to go to sleep when your blood's flowing, amen. Psalm 33, beginning in verse 1, as I read aloud, if you would follow along there. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. That simply means it's only expected of people that are righteous to praise the Lord. Right. It's comely, it's becoming, it's what they're supposed to do. It only makes sense. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, amen. We don't need to sing that old junk you were singing before you got saved, amen. Play skillfully with a loud noise. You say, well, it's supposed to be loud. It's supposed to be skillful, too. It's supposed to be skillful. Amen. We need to practice. You can tell when Brother Ethan plays those offertories that he practices. There's no way you can just pull that out of your back pocket, amen. Right, brother? Verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right. Glory to God. And all his works are done in truth. Well, that's a blessed verse. Notice this now. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as in heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. That just means he's fully control of even the deepest seas, the widest oceans. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and notice, it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. It was done, and it stopped. It stayed right there. It's amazing. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. Now, that's still prophecy, but it's going to happen. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Verse 12 is our text this morning. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Amen. And the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Let's pray. Father, Lord, this morning we're thankful to be in America. We're thankful, God, to be in a land of freedom. A land of still free choice. And God, thank you, Lord, for blessing this country. But Lord, this morning, we do pray that you would help us as citizens of this great country, Lord God, to not overlook how we got here, to not take for granted, Lord God, your hand of blessings in our nation's past and present. In Jesus' name, we pray for your help now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now, right off the bat, we're going to see that God is talking here in verse 12 about the nation of Israel. Right off the bat, we see that God is talking about his people. Notice it says, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. That was God's nation of Israel, is God's choice. God chose them for his inheritance. God chose them to give, to bring the blessings of God into this world through his people, the Jews, the Israelites, the Hebrews. But I also want you to see that the application is to any nation in verse 12. Amen. Blessed is the nation, period, whose God is the Lord. Blessed is the nation, period, no matter whether it be Jewish nation. There's only one land of Jews right now, Israel. But there's also nations, many other nations, that God promises to be a blessing to that nation if it's one thing, if God is their Lord. Obviously, we're looking at God promising a nation, a national blessings, many national blessings, if they'll make him their Lord, if they'll put him in first place and priority, if they'll give him the preeminence and exalt him to the rightful place in their nation, and then God says that nation will be blessed. Folks, listen to me today. I believe with all my heart that's the only reason that we have what we have today is because we as a nation years ago made God our Lord. Amen. Now listen, I wasn't there. You weren't there either.
Right.
But our daddies were, our granddaddies, great-granddaddies, and so on, great-great-great-great-great-great-great, down the line, were there. And in 1776, amen, when they declared their independence from the tyranny of Great Britain, when they declared their independence from the state church, it really is what it was, folks, they did not have the freedom to worship God like the Bible says to. They did not have the freedom to set up and establish churches like the Bible says to. They didn't have the freedom to worship and praise and serve God and win souls and convert them to Christ like the Bible says to. And listen, so they knew this is not God's will. This is not right that we live under this oppression of the British Empire, who, by the way, had a state church that was not biblical. It was not scriptural. And these were not Jews. These were converted people who had been saved by the grace of God through the witness and testimony of Christians like you and me. And now they were brought over here to set up the 13 colonies of Great Britain. But they knew that from this book that you hold in your this precious book that you hold in your hand, they knew this is not how God wants us to live our lives.
That's right. That's right.
And at the time, you see, what was going on in our nation, it was Great Britain was their Lord.
Yeah, come on. That's right.
The state church of Great Britain, the government of Great Britain, was the Lord of those 13 colonies. They, in other words, they were the master. They were controlling what the people did, how they had church, what they preached, what they believed, how they lived. They were controlling. It was tyranny. It was tyrannical. That's exactly what happened. And when God's people got a hold, listen, of God's word and began to see, this is not what God wants for my life. This is not what God wants for my family. This is not what God wants for my home. This is not what God wants for my marriage. This is not how God wants me to live. They got a hold of it. They realized, I am going to make God my Lord.
Amen.
And listen to me. Think about the implications there. You know the stories. They lost all their worldly possessions. They lost, most of them lost their lives, their families. They lost everything on the battlefields, in blood, dying. For one reason.
Yeah.
Oh, for freedom. Yes and no. For one reason. Because they knew that God has to be our Lord.
That's right. Amen.
You say, that's too simple. That's really the bottom line, folks. The nation in which you'll go home today, and most of you, as far as I know, you'll go home to a nice air-conditioned place. You'll go home to a comfortable couch or, amen, a comfortable nap-time bed. You'll go home to a meal. You'll go out for a meal to a restaurant who's got everything prepared for you, waiting for you, amen, just waiting to give you the check, amen, after you eat. But you'll have your bellies filled. You'll have your hearts content. You'll laugh with your families and hopefully not fight, but laugh with your families and enjoy a great meal, a great time of fellowship, go home and rest. And then, right, amen, all of you will be back in church again tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And listen, that's only because God has blessed the nation. God has blessed the nation in which you live today. I just can't emphasize it enough. The blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Well, how does a nation, how does a person, how does anybody make God their Lord? By understanding, number one, that His word is always right. Look in verse 4. The word of the Lord is right. I go back to what I was saying earlier about our forefathers in America here. You know, the ones who signed that Declaration of Independence. The ones who gave their lives and everything that they owned and lost all as far as the earth goes to be a nation who today where they knew you and me were going to be sitting in a church house today. I believe they had vision. I mean, the Bible says where there's no vision, amen, the people perish. They had a vision of what God was going to do because they knew that God's word was always right. God's word is always right. And that God's word changed their hearts. God's word changed their families. God's word changed their desires. God's word changed, again, what they saw in the future. God's word changed their principles. God's word changed their priorities. God's word became preeminent in their lives. God's word became everything to them. And they knew in the bottom of their hearts, the very depths of their souls, it didn't matter what man said. It didn't matter what everything looks like. It didn't matter what it seemed to be. I knew God's word is always right. Right. God's word's not always going to be popular. God's word's not always going to be fun. But God's word is always right. And see, they knew that. And they knew this word is right. So I've got to make the God of this word Lord of my life. Lord of my home. Lord. Listen, think about the word Lord. The word Lord just simply means master.
Amen.
They're going to make God. They're going to make the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jehovah, their God, their Lord, their master, their leader, total authority. That's it right there.
Yeah.
Authority. Because they knew His word is right. You see, how many times had God proven His word to these people, our nation's forefathers and founders? How many times has God proved His word to them? And there's a song that we sing sometimes, with all the many miracles, why don't we think it's possible to trust God today? With all the many things we've seen, Why do we think it's just a dream? God can still do it today. God can, and they knew that. They knew that God had saved their souls because simply by placing faith in His word.
That's right.
That's how you got saved today. If you're saved today, you can say that the only one reason you can say, "Amen, I'm saved," or "Praise God, my sins are gone," is because God's word promised me salvation. And when I trusted God's word and I acted on Him by faith, He saved me. Now His word is true. I'm saved forever. He needs to be number one in my life.
Amen.
And the nation who does that, who believes that, who puts that God in practice, God says, "I'll bless that nation. I'll bless that nation." His word is the reason that He needs to be Lord of our lives. Also, His works. Look in verse 4. The word of the Lord is right. All His works are done in truth. We talked a little about that this morning in Sunday school, truth. Everything that God does is true and right. All of His works are done in truth. Now, stop for a minute. You understand that those men and women, those boys and girls, those young men, those young Americans, well, they weren't Americans yet, but amen, they were still British colonists, but they lost their lives.
That's right.
And they, in doing so, they chose to make God, the Lord God Jehovah, Lord and Master of their life. They lost their lives.
Yep.
They shed their blood on the battlefields. They lost, many of them lost families. They became widows and widowers, or children became orphans. They lost their homes, their material possessions, their estates. Many of them were wealthy, wealthy men. But understand, they knew that however God works this out, it's because it's truth and it's right and it needs to happen.
That's right.
Now, can you understand how verse 4, the word and the works of God, all of it goes together? God's word says He's going to do something, then God's works are done in truth. You see, the Bible says in John 17:17, "Sanctify them with thy truth, thy word is truth." This is the truth. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Yeah. Jesus is the truth. God, the Spirit of God, is the Spirit of truth. You understand? And understand, the works of God are done. If God's involved, it's because it's truth, it's right, and it needs to happen. And because, listen, by that statement right there, I can prove to you, and you know already in your hearts, if you trust the Lord, you know that many of His works are not done in common logical sense the way I would have prepared or planned for it. But it's done in truth. Truth. He doesn't hide anything from us. You know how many times, I'm telling you, I can't tell you. There's no way I could ever tell you. How many times I'm a little bit like we just read in Psalm 119, my soul cleaveth to the dust. Sometimes I'm just down, lower than I should be. Let's put it that way. I'm saved just as saved as anybody else. I understand that. I'm the preacher. I know that. I'm your pastor. I know that. But I'm just being transparent with you. I'm not trying to put on a front, okay? The fact of the matter is things happen and God working in my life just like he is yours.
Amen.
But his works are done in truth. I know that he's doing them according to the truth of his word. I know that but you know what happens is I get in his word. I get to the word of his truth and I find out the truth of his word and I see the truth of his works.
Amen.
Therefore I can begin to make him Lord of my life. It's easier for me to just say, Lord, I surrender all.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what our forefathers did back in 1774, 75, 76. They understood what it meant to sing, I surrender all. All to Jesus, I surrender. All to him, I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence, daily live. Daily. That's not heaven. That's right here in this book. The words of God, the works of his truth. Not only that, but if I'm going to make God the Lord of my life, if I'm going to make the Lord God Almighty, God, master of my soul, my life, my family, my home, his word has got to be precious to me. And his works, I've got to understand. I trust his works. And I understand, number three, his ways are way different than mine. Look in verse 5. He loveth righteousness and judgment. He loveth righteousness and judgment. You understand, folks, as sinners, we aren't born loving righteousness. You can kind of gather that in your own. This is not deep today. This is just straight out of the book. Amen. But his ways, he's a God who loves righteousness. He's a God who hates sin. He's a God who loves truth and righteousness and honesty, and he hates evil and iniquity and transgression. He's a God. His ways, listen, are so much higher than our ways. His thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. Listen, we cannot comprehend everything that he does, but we know his works are in truth and his ways are in righteousness. I have loved thee, O Lord. I have loved thy ways. I have loved thy righteousness. You understand here today, there's something about loving righteousness. Blessed is the man that hungers and thirsts for righteousness, for he shall be filled. God says, I want you to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Ye that love the Lord, in Psalm 97:10, ye that love the Lord hate evil. And listen, God doesn't want us to hate people. God doesn't want us to hate, but he wants us to hate the way of life of a transgressor, because it's hard, because it's brutal, because it makes our lives miserable. And God's gracious and merciful, and the earth is full of the goodness. Look in verse 5. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Everywhere you look, God's goodness is displayed in the mountaintops, in the seas, the seaside, the trees, the wind, the sun, the blue sky, the fresh air. Listen, his goodness is everywhere you look in this old world. And it doesn't matter how fallen this is. God's goodness cannot be changed, and he's worthy of being Lord of our lives.
Amen.
He loveth righteousness. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. He loves judgment.
Amen.
That's what it says in verse 5. He loves judgment.
Yep.
Now you could go on and on about, well, we're not supposed to judge, and God's not the judge. How can God love judgment? Well, all of that means this. Listen, that's all it means is this. He's always going to set things straight.
That's right.
You understand what that means? He's going to make things straight. Look down in verse 10. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. What? You know what he's going to do? He's going to see their counsel that it's wrong, and he's going to bring their counsel, their advice, their ideas to naught. That means to nothing. It's going to bring it down to the dirt. It's just going to be destroyed.
Yep.
See, the world lives in a way that they don't understand the ways of God. And you and me and our hearts and our minds, we don't either understand His ways. But we've got a perfect book, amen, His Word. And we've seen His works. And He tells us about His ways so that we can understand that He will take care of that which is crooked. He'll make it straight, amen. He'll bring to the heathen the counsel of their heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. He said, you know what, you can stand up against me with machine guns and army tanks and F-14 Tomcats and you can stand with nuclear bombs and you act like you're going to overcome me.
Oh.
But he says he's making their devices in verse 10 of none effect.
Amen.
See, he loves righteousness and he loves judgment and he's going to take care of those who are against him. That's not for us to worry about. That's not for us to try to figure out. He tells us that in His Word. His ways are different than our ways. We can't overcome them.
That's right.
The Bible says that we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. We know what they are. But you know what the answer to that is? Is we simply walk in faith. We walk in the Spirit. We walk in truth. We love righteousness and let God love judgment and take care of the ways of the heathen. I tell you, those men, again, I go back, this is a message just thinking about our independence today. Those men and women and boys and girls who died, gave their lives, lost everything they had, lost their family members, portions of their families just divided, ripped to shreds. They understood the ways of the Lord. They understood that He loved righteousness and that this book is His word of righteousness and His works were always going to be right. And you understand that made them decide to sacrifice all they had for righteousness. For righteousness. And what am I saying? I'm saying this. If we're going to understand His righteousness, we're going to have to be willing to sacrifice whatever is coming between us and His ways, His righteousness. Let Him take care of it. Trust the Lord.
Amen.
Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed is the nation who understands His word is true. His works are done in truth. He loves righteousness. His ways are far, far above our ways. He's going to take care of the counsel of the heathen. He's going to make the devices of the people of none effect. He's going to work things together for good for His people. It's not always easy. Very seldom is it easy to walk in the ways of the Lord when everyone else is walking in a different direction. Again, go back to those 13 little colonies. You understand, there were Baptist preachers standing up preaching this book. And that George Washington, John Hancock, and Ben Franklin, and those guys, you know what Patrick Henry, you know what motivated those men to stand up and say, give me liberty.
Amen.
Or give me death? You know what it was? It was old-fashioned, leather-lung, Bible-believing preachers of this book who opened their eyes to see, we've got to make God the Lord. Yeah. We've got to make the Lord of our nation, right. God Almighty, and His Word is always true. His ways are done and works are done in truth, and He loves righteousness. Therefore, if I love Him, I'm going to love what He loves.
That's right.
The Bible says, if any man love the Lord, it is known of him. You can't look at those men. Now, they weren't even all saved. That's the weird thing. That's a little bit unusual. They weren't even all saved. And they surely didn't all have the right doctrine when it came to living according to the Bible. But they knew one thing. Look what it says here. Verse 8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. See, they knew His word was right. They knew His works were done in truth. They knew His ways, loved righteousness and judgment. In other words, they knew, okay, if I'm living and walking in righteousness, I'm on His side.
Amen.
If I'm living and walking in the counsel of the ungodly, I'm on His judgment side.
Right.
Listen to me, folks. It's the same way today. It's still for you today. You say, well, I'm saved. I know you're saved. I'm saved too. But there's still a judgment seat.
That's right.
Yep. There's still a God in heaven who chastens His children.
That's right.
You see, He loves judgment. Why? Because judgment fixes your heart.
Amen.
Judgment fixes you.
Amen.
How's judgment? Well, it may be a sickness. It may be a disease. It may be a financial setback. It may be discouragement. It may be a loved one, a friend. It may be a relationship just break apart. I don't know, but listen to me. God does judge and chasten his people because he loves us, because he wants to fix us, because he wants to prepare us for eternity. There is a judgment seat coming. He says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven.
Amen.
How does he prepare us for heaven? Because he loves judgment right here. And we should fear the Lord. Not fear him as we're afraid of being around him. No. Fear him in the understanding that he loves judgment and he will take care of us, whatever need be.
Right.
See, those men knew that. Those men knew they couldn't continue to live in that British idea of Orthodox religion with no life. Amen. Darkness and no life and death without life. They knew they couldn't continue down that road because God is a God who loves righteousness. And he also will take care of judgment when need be. Amen. Verse 11. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. These men knew that God had to be the Lord of their nation because they knew his word was right. They knew his works were done in truth. They knew he loved righteousness. His ways were always right. But they also knew that his wisdom was going to stand forever.
Amen. Amen.
And what do you mean by that, preacher? I mean, they knew that their grandchildren, great-grandchildren, you and me, were going to need God's wisdom.
Amen.
He knew that we were going to be here today, amen, In 2018, he knew we were going to be sitting here today in Denton, Texas, at the Amazing Grace. They didn't know our names and the specifics, but you understand, they knew there's a future generations, many generations coming down the road. And it says here in verse 11, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. I guarantee you they knew, if we don't do this now, who's going to do it? If we don't do this now, who's going to set up the way for our children and our grandchildren? If we don't do this now, see, who's going to have the truth for our generations to come down the line in our country?
Amen.
They weren't going to get it from false doctrine over there in England. They weren't going to get it from the false teachers in the British colony. They needed, they understood. I tell you, they read verses like this. This book was in their hands.
Amen.
Amen.
This book that you have right now, you understand, this book was published and finalized in the English language in 1611.
Yep.
And then the American independence was finalized and declared in 1776. That's many years. They had this very book in their hands.
Amen.
Woo, glory to God. And they read that verse right there and they said, wait, I've got children coming. I've got grandchildren coming. I've got great-grandchildren. I've got to make God the Lord of my nation.
Amen.
My Lord. My life.
That's right.
His wisdom has got to be available to the future generations of our country.
Yeah, you might.
I want you to think about that. You have salvation today.
Amen.
You have liberty today. You have freedom to go home, like I said, and do whatever you want to do today within the confines of the law. You have freedom today to enjoy yourself. You have freedom to go eat a watermelon and ice cream. Hallelujah, Bluebell ice cream, glory to God. You might even go get a Whataburger today on your way home. Listen, I like America. I said I like America. I know America's not what it used to be. I know we've got all kinds of problems in the White House and the warehouse, but we've got all kinds of problems in the church house. But the fact of the matter is, we still have a great nation. Amen. And we have God to thank for it. And we have these men and these people back in those days who had this very book, who probably heard this very same message. Well, anyway, they read the same words. They read the same words.
That's right.
And they said, whoa.
Come on.
Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord.
That's right.
And God smote their heart and they said, you got to do something. You got to do something.
Amen.
See, God's word God's works, God's ways, God's wisdom. How is it going to carry on to the next generation if you don't do something?
Come on.
Let me ask you, how's it going to carry on to the next generation if we don't do something?
Yep.
If we don't do something. You say, preacher, fewer and fewer people understand what you just preached. And to that I say, so?
Sorry. Yeah, come on.
So?
Amen.
If we don't, they won't even have a chance.
Yeah, that's right.
If we don't, they'll never even have a clue. If we don't, they'll never know the difference.
Yep.
And guess who's responsible?
That's right. Yep.
I mean, Brother Worcester just had a great, 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 great grandson.
Amen.
You ought to know he was that old, did you? A great grandson, right? That little bitty baby, 7 pounds, 8 ounces, whatever, still fresh off the assembly line, amen? But that little boy's going to grow up.
Yes, sir.
And you know, that little boy's going to become a man one day if Jesus doesn't come back soon. And see, our forefathers understood that we have a generation coming behind us, and God will bless our nation. I understand something here. Not every single colonist was on board with this.
That's right.
Not every single colonist signed that Declaration of Independence.
That's right.
Are you listening to me? Not every single colonist was fighting for freedom.
That's right.
Many of them said, oh, come on, guys. Why do you think Patrick Henry stood up in that Virginia council? He said, look, you, what good does it do? And I'm paraphrasing. What good does it do to lay here and talk about freedom? He said, we've got to go out and fight for it. He said, give me liberty or give me death.
Amen. That's right.
Not everybody was with him. He had to convince them.
That's right. Yep.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And they weren't all convinced. And today they're not all going to be convinced. But there's somebody that needs to hear it.
Yeah.
Blessed is the nation.
Yeah. Mm.
Blessed is the home. Blessed is the marriage. Blessed is the life. Blessed is the future. Whose God is the Lord.
That's right.
Guys, I it's always a battle.
Yep.
It's always a battle going on in your heart today. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Who's going to be Lord of your life today? Today you came to church, Sunday school, praise God, you made the right choice.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Isn't it sad though?
Yeah, come on.
How many empty chairs there are.
Yeah. That's right.
Yes, sir. Help us, Lord.
Sad. It's heartbreaking. But it doesn't change what I just said to you. It doesn't change what God just said.
Amen.
Blessed is that nation. Understand His word is right. It's right.
Amen.
It's always right. Oh, sometimes it cuts like a two-edged sword, and it's supposed to, but it's still right. His works are done in truth. In other words, it's exactly what needs to be done. He's not trying to trick anybody.
Amen.
Truth, transparency, light. His works are done in the light. Amen. He's light himself.
Amen.
He's not working in the darkness over here in the shadows. These things are not done in a corner. Amen. These things are done in the open, in the light, for all the world to see. His works are done in truth.
Amen.
Hallelujah. His ways are righteousness. He loves righteousness. He loves righteousness. He loves judgment. He loves to fix things that are wrong. And you know what? To that I say thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, how many times have I needed that old-fashioned trip to the woodshed? He loves judgment because He knows He's going to fix me. The earth is full of His goodness. See, He bringeth the counsel. He loves, listen, His wisdom standeth forever.
Amen.
You're not going to destroy this book. You're never going to get, by the way, they tried.
They tried,
but it was still 1776 and it made it all the way across the ocean. Bam. Into those colonies. This book, this very book. It made it all the way across that ocean right here to this great nation. I wonder how God accomplished that. Through His Word, His works, His ways, and His wisdom.
Amen.
And then He said, blessed is that nation. I'm glad to be an American today. Hey, listen, I've lived overseas. I've known what it is to live in places that don't speak English. I know what it is to see. I've seen poverty-stricken nations. And you know what? You know what the difference was, folks?
Yeah.
When I came back and landed on American soil, you know what the difference was? It wasn't the soil.
Nope.
It wasn't the language.
Nope.
It wasn't the culture. It was that nation where I lived for 9 years of my life growing up, their God was not the Lord.
That's right. Yep.
Their God was the virgin. Their God was the church. Their God was their works, their baptisms. Their God, and you know, you can go over there and still today,
yes,
it's still poverty stricken.
Amen.
Today,
yeah.
38 years later, it's the same exact nation. But you look around America.
Yeah.
Progress, technology is not all bad, but most of it is. But technology, I mean, building, business booming. I mean, you look, it's progress. But you go over there, it's the exact same way it was 40 years ago. It has been for hundreds of years. Exact same people, exact same poverty, exact same problems.
Yeah.
Why?
Amen.
God told you right there.
Amen.
Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. God help us to turn our backs on what these men and women did. God help you and your wretched soul if you go out and make someone else and something else your Lord and just throw this all to the dust. Think about your generations coming up behind you. Think about what the people before you have suffered and bled and died to give you. But it was all because they knew this book to be true. And they said, they read this same passage, and one day God smote them in the middle of their heart and said, okay guys, we're going to do something about this. I wonder what they were thinking, Brother Worcester. They probably think, man, boy, I hope those people ahead of us, I hope they appreciate this.
Yeah, come on.
And I guarantee you, because they're human just like we are, I guarantee you some of them were thinking, man, this is crazy. I mean, come on, we've got it made. We've got the comforts. We got protection. We got the British Empire behind us. And they're thinking, you know, I know it's not, everything's not exactly right, okay, but come on, it's still comfortable. It's still convenient. But see, God would not leave their hearts alone.
Yeah.
Blessed is the nation. God is the Lord. Blessed. And they went home at night. And they rolled around in their beds at night. And this verse just kept on screaming out to them. And they said, nobody's going to appreciate this. Lord, nobody's going to love us. Nobody's going to follow us. They're going to think we're crazy. We're just going to die. It's going to go right back. And by the way, there was more wars later.
That's right. Yep.
There were British. The British Empire did not give up easily. They came back, I think it was, 150 years later? I don't have the dates all memorized. And they tried to take back the colonies. But somebody understood what they understood. And today, listen to me, dearly beloved. We have a nation, I know. Sodomy's taken over. Crime is rampant. I mean, no, people don't even know what this book says anymore. But I do.
Amen.
And you do.
Amen.
And God says, I'll bless it.
Amen.
Not everybody was on board, but we can be.
Amen.
We can be. Who's God? Who's the Lord of your life? Is God the Lord of your home? Don't throw it to the wind. Don't throw it to the wind. God says, I want to bless you.
Amen.
I want to bless you. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for our country. And Lord, as I think about the nations that I've been and seen, Lord, I think about their condition. And Lord, today I know I could go back and there's no progress at all. Father, what a blessing it is to be in America. What a blessing it is, Father, to have this book in our hands, to sit in an old-fashioned church like this and sing praises and laugh and fellowship and rejoice in song and worship and hear this precious truth preached in our ears and our hearts. Oh God, make us more thankful today for our country. Make us more thankful for those who've gone before us. Make us more godly to love you and your ways and your word and your works and your wisdom. Make us, Lord God, willing to stand, sacrifice whatever is necessary, Lord, to carry this on to the next generations that come up behind us. Oh, bless your people today. Lord, how we love you. We thank you for this book, how it's changed our lives. It has given us a nation, and we thank you for it. In